Welcome to You Can With AI. This is a 7-part series all about AI and agents inside the enterprise. Part exploration, part blueprint, our goal is to provide insight from the ground level around how AI is transforming organizations and the challenges it takes to fully take advantage of those changes. The series is created and supported by KPMG and hosted by me, Nathaniel Whittemore. I'm the host of the top-ranked AI podcast, The AI Daily Brief, and I'm thrilled to have these conversations with leaders from across KPMG's practice about the ins and outs of AI today. We kick off our exploration with a high-level discussion of AI strategy. I'm joined by Kevin Bolin, a principal in KPMG's U.S. advisory practice, who serves as leader for strategic planning and investments. Kevin, welcome to You Can With AI. How are you doing?
Great, Nathaniel. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this one is going to be super fun. This is our kickoff episode. It sets a framework and a tone for everything. No pressure, of course. But we're talking about AI strategy, which is a sort of a big, probably, you know, overly burdensome term in some ways. But we're going to really dig in and try to understand what that means, how companies and executives that are listening to this can think about strategy. But before we get into all of that, I would love for you to just provide a little bit of the context that you're bringing to this, what you're spending kind of day in, day out thinking about and how you're interacting with AI.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly KPMG is, you know, not immune to this, right? So we're living through this transformation just like everybody else. So in my role, I oversee the AI transformation for our advisory practice. And for us, that means both figuring out how we're best going to enable and support our clients through their transformation, as well as how do we serve as client zero in that transformation by applying these same thinkings and approaches and technologies to ourselves and our own workflows moving ahead. So we've got a lot of strategic questions we're asking ourselves about the future of professional services and how that changes with AI, as well as how we're going to lean into that from a client support standpoint. And then prior to KPMG, I spent 7 years at Clay Christensen's firm studying disruptive innovation and helping clients navigate those types of changes. So, you know, this has kind of been in my blood and DNA. I've been prepping for this moment for the last, 17 years of my life. So really excited to be living through it now.
Awesome. All right. So let's start very broad. We're talking about AI strategy, but what do we mean when we say AI strategy?
No, I think it's a fair question. And I think what we're working with clients through right now is a question of, have you created a strategy for AI, or have you rewritten your organizational strategy in light of AI, right? And I think those are two different questions. I think early on when AI dropped, well, I should say the generative AI phase of AI dropped a couple of years ago and kind of woke everyone up to this trend, all of a sudden you had very reactive responses, right? So it started off pretty casual, you know, drops over Thanksgiving in the US and there's some novelty effect to this, but then people start to question, what's the business potential here? And you got some very low-hanging fruit, reactive kind of responses, ranging everything from, this is scary, shut it down, to, you know, what are some of the potential near-term cost savings? It wasn't the most thoughtful response, though, right? I don't think it could have been at that time. You had a leadership team that wasn't ready for it. The world hadn't seen this type of scale happening all at once, where it's available to every function globally, everywhere. So I think they were trying to react to, what does this mean for the business long-term? I think what you're seeing now is a migration from that reactive approach to a much more strategic and thoughtful approach, looking at the facets of this relative to the business model, right? So it's not just an operational consideration. We're thinking more long-term. How do we think about the value proposition? How do we think about how this changes our interaction with the way we serve and connect with customers? How do we think about our own, you know, value narrative internally? And how do we respect and respond to our employees' questions around AI? So it's a much more holistic response. But that also is intimidating, right? Because when you start to unpack the scale of it, it's pretty colossal.
Yeah, I think that that's it's a really interesting observation that just almost by the sheer scale of impact demands that it implicates the entire business strategy, not just, you know, to view this as sort of a new phenomenon or a new software category to consider.
Correct. It's not as if, you know, most organizations were already great at strategy and they're just now applying that lens and capability to this. You know, there's a lot of firms like ours and competitors like ours who help organizations think through strategic implications because they lack that muscle internally to do it. And now you're just challenging every organization, whether they have that capability or not, to suddenly rethink, you know, very material phases and parts of their business.
Given how extensive this sort of strategic need is, right, given how many different parts of the organization it implicates, What are you seeing in terms of how people are actually structuring their approach to strategy? How centralized is it versus bottom up versus hub and spoke, you know, or is it some kind of combination of all of the above?
I think it's a little bit of a combination of all of the above. And I think there's a few reasons for that. So early on, I think when this first started to occur, senior leaders turned, you know, they saw it as a technology question, right? So it looks like a tech thing. So let's talk to our tech people. And they kind of became potentially the de facto starting point for organizations that might have had an innovation group established internally or a strategy group established internally. They might have brought them into the conversation as well. So you had a little bit of a foil between the technology and the strategy thinking coming together. And in some organizations, they simply turned to the person they thought had the right kind of brain for this. So a COO, a CMO, something of that nature, where people are just saying, who has the bandwidth and ability to think more expansively about this? And they turn to the kind of people on their team that they trusted with those types of questions. I think the other tension that you're experiencing now is this notion between the bottoms up and the tops down. And you alluded to this a minute ago. Early on, because this was available everywhere all at once, and unless the organization did shut off the IP addresses, employees were doing a ton of mass grassroots innovation, right? Trying this out, trying to make their personal daily lives a bit better through AI, right? A colleague of mine calls it the elimination of the soul-crushing part of your day, where you just ask it to do the stuff you don't like it to do and see how well it does. That bottoms up is great from an engagement and employee activation standpoint. The challenge it creates is you don't really know what's happening and you don't know what's the best of. And so some people can be really great at that and other people really inefficient at that. And it's actually decretive to their overall value. So how do you start to surface and socialize and share the best of those experiments going forward? And there were some limited efforts to try and do that. Where I think organizations are pivoting now is more of a command and control tops down approach, where we know AI is better for these types of functions. We know there's additional value to be captured here. So we're going to start to be more directed in telling our people what we're expecting them to be doing in these spaces. And that balance between, hey, I had the freedom to do this on my own, versus I'm being told what to do, is creating additional tension in the organization right now.
Yeah. And it sounds like the argument, though, which I think is really salient, is that some amount of that shift to a more top-down command and control approach is simply based on the natural evolution of having more confidence and understanding of how AI can work and benefit so that it's not as reliant exclusively on bottoms-up experimentation, right? So it's not a value shift away from bottoms-up to top-down. It's a byproduct of the learning that's happened over the past couple of years.
Completely agree. And I think the healthiest organizations are the ones that are finding the right balance between those two. Right? Because you do want the people that are closest to the problem statements to still have the degrees of freedom to bring that creativity and that insight to the exploration and experimentation going forward. But you also want to start to drive some of the tops down where the adoption may be more passive or people aren't recognizing or not exposed to the true greatest capabilities that are here. So how do I start to direct that by baking it directly into the workflows and the tool sets that they're using every single day? I think what organizations need to manage, though, is that's a portfolio-based approach to AI deployment. And a lot of organizations struggle with really understanding and constructing a dynamic way to model and understand all the different efforts they have in their portfolio. Because regardless of whether it's bottoms up or tops down, the reality is there is cost associated with this. And so if you don't start to have an understanding and visibility into how you're leveraging this and are you getting the greatest utility out of it, eventually someone's going to come along and say, hey, wait a minute, this ROI isn't looking good and let's pause on all these efforts. And I think that would be a dangerous position to find yourself in.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the great challenges for companies is that they are racing to just do pivot, you know, kicking the can down the field on sort of understanding whether the doing, you know, how exactly the doing is impacting. And obviously that sort of, it almost creates sort of ROI debt in terms of or ROI strategy debt. But I wanted to ask another question that relates to this, some of the shift that's happening in how strategy is deployed. How much does this also have to do with changes in the capabilities of AI itself? And specifically, I'm thinking of a move from, you know, a real emphasis on co-pilots and assistants, which simply augment the things that people are already doing, help them do it more efficiently, quicker, better, or cheaper, versus agents, which really are totally supplementary in different ways, and in many cases, unlock opportunities that were sort of impossible to even consider before, just because of the scale that they can operate at. How much is that impacting this as well?
No, I don't think you can understate, you know, how much that's impacting it. And I think it creates a couple of different tension points, right? So one is, I have to acknowledge my strategy is now much more fluid than I would have liked it to be before, right? So organizations, you know, if they had a strategy process, would typically have some sort of a short term and like a 3 to 5 year outlook, you know, and they wouldn't go much beyond that because it's just too difficult to predict. The challenge with that is the assumptions you might have been making through that process were contingent on kind of what you could see today. And with the pace of change within AI, it's really hard to anticipate the capability and advances it might have within, say, 6 months that might radically alter core tenets of that strategic, you know, underlying assumption. So when you start to think about, you know, where do I need to be from a cost to serve standpoint? Where do I need to be from a cost to acquire a customer standpoint, et cetera? My reference points within the industry, you know, let's say my cost to serve XYZ should have been 6% of revenue. Well, reality is with the earliest advances in AI, maybe that goalpost moved to 4% of revenue. And with agentic AI, maybe it's moving to 2% or maybe it's fully automated. And if I'm not following up and staying abreast of that trending curve, I could find myself significantly disadvantaged over my competitors that had either greater foresight or more likely a better, more tactical execution model to capture that, which then frees up that capital for them to invest in other domains in their business more effectively than I can right now. So I think that's the challenge point people are having is how much stock can I put in the strategic plan we're setting when in 6 months we may have to start it all over again because something has more radically changed than we anticipated in that capability set. And I think that's causing a lot of anxiety for senior leaders, right, who are already struggling with the command and control aspect of this whole question on, do I have the right set of priorities? Have I targeted the right domains to move through this transformation effort? What if I got that wrong? What are the implications to my business going forward? And I think a lot of it, as you alluded to early on, was a focus on some sort of a cost savings model, right? Part of that was the state of the economy when Gen AI rolled out and an emphasis on that. But those early returns didn't materialize. I worked at IBM early in my career, and we were doing process reengineering, and you do a lot of math around, you know, time savings times 400 people who have that role, and that was an ROI narrative. But it was always difficult to capture that in the real world. And I think we saw some of that same math emerging with AI early on. And I think now we're pivoting to much more strategic implication discussions. And I think that's posing a challenge for leaders around the scale of this, but then also the pace of change.
Yeah, I mean, listen, validating a lot of that, one of the things that we see that's just an incredibly difficult challenge that's sort of unresolvable in some ways is how to make strategy when you know that the fundamentals underpinning that strategy are likely to shift in 6 months or 12 months' time. And I think people are aware that the answer can't be just wait for 6 to 12 months, because then you're just, you know, there's going to be another 6 to 12 months ahead of that. But you do have to operate almost with planned obsolescence of some of this. I think that to the extent that there's a silver lining of this, it's that it really reinforces or puts a fine point on the importance of having strong strategic frameworks that can adapt to the changing technological realities, right?
I agree. And I think one, you know, kind of lost art in the strategy area is this notion of scenario planning, right? Some organizations, you know, might have leaned into it occasionally here and there, but it was more of a thought exercise. I think what you have to start to embrace now with AI, because of the unpredictability of what the next round of capabilities are going to release or the pace at which those capabilities will advance, I think you really have to start to look at scenario modeling in a much more critical and thoughtful way than you were doing before. Because I think there is both to your point, the need to do near-term action, right? I can't get analysis paralysis where I just freeze and say, well, let's see, where does this land? Because this notion of transformation that we've all lived with for many years, mostly tech-driven, you know, is implied in the name. We're moving from one steady state to a different steady state. And the phase in the middle is the transformation phase where we've got to manage change, et cetera. The challenge now is there is no new steady state, right? So how do we live in this constant moment of reinvention where each new capability that's released, whether it's agentic or you know, the next generation, whether it's AGI or something else on the horizon, you know, what else does that call into question relative to what we're focused on, where our priorities are? How is it going to change the value chain in our industry and in our role in helping our customers and clients kind of meet their needs going forward? We could be completely disrupted. You know, there could be a circumstance where our services or capabilities are no longer needed, or the expectations around what value we can generate for those people is being reshaped and redefined by their experiences with AI in other parts of their life. And how are they bringing those expectations now into this relationship that we have with us? So you've got to really start to call into question the fluidity of which that is going on. And how do I keep a very agile senior leadership team mindset around this?
So this gets me to a question that I wanted to ask about what a strategy or what a team looks like that's performing well in this domain. And how do they even know, right? If you have lots of experience, you're obviously thinking about this both in the context of KPMG internally, but also across the portfolio of advisory clients. What does, a strong AI strategy or strategic process look like right now? And how would a company even know if their strategy is bearing fruit? How are they thinking about kind of value realization and just understanding on that level?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And it's a really hard one, candidly. And I think a lot of organizations are struggling to understand the breadth of all this transformation and my tension before about, do I have an AI plan or do I have a strategy that includes AI? So, a few of the dimensions that we look at is there's some foundational questions you have to have, right? So the impact of AI is first and foremost limited by your ability to use AI, right? So we start to think about, do I have the right data? Do I have the right technical infrastructure? Is that fit for purpose given where this is trending over time? And a lot of organizations are discovering it's not, right? So before I can even discuss the strategic implications and impacts that AI is going to have, I have to look at whether or not I can even use it at its full breadth of capability. So that's the first and foremost is let's look at the foundations on the technical side. Then on the other foundational side, you've got to look at how ready is my organization for this change, right? So how prepared are my people? How armed are they? How intellectually curious and technically savvy are they? How is this going to fit kind of within their traditional workflows? You've got some organizations where AI will transform workflows, but people aren't sitting in front of a computer every day, right? So how do you start to think about their ability to access and utilize these capabilities when they don't have a traditional prompt in front of them or an agent served up to them through some sort of software app they're already using? So you've got to start to think about the human adoption dimension as you're thinking about the technical side of the equation. And then you've really got to start to think about the change management of this, right? So am I going to try and do everything everywhere all at once? Or do I have to think about a sequential prioritization? Most organizations are going to come down some sort of a prioritization schema. They just don't have the capital or the leadership bandwidth to try and do everything everywhere all at once. So they have to start to think about what criteria am I going to use to make those prioritization choices, right? Because everything is going to come forward with a very valid case. That's the challenge. This is a legit transformation in every domain. So how do I start to think about which transformation is most critical going forward? And I think you've got to work backwards from your relationship you have with your customers, right? So starting to understand how is AI going to transform that connection point, whether it's how they learn about my products, whether it's what they think the capabilities of my products should be, starting to think about if it's a services business, what their expectations are relative to AI's capabilities in what we're delivering for them. If you don't have that insight, then your prioritization is largely going to be limited to some sort of operational bias, some sort of better, faster, cheaper. And you won't think as expansively around the net new drivers of value that can emerge with AI.
So you started to answer this a little bit just in the context of that question. But one of the things that I thought would be valuable is, as I was sitting here preparing for this conversation, I was thinking to myself, if I had to write down or if I asked ChatGPT, what are the elements of an AI strategy, right? I'm coming into a company and they say, we need an AI strategy by the end of this meeting. So what are all the key pillars, right? And I wrote down internal change management stuff, tool use policy, guardrails, procurement process, support, upskilling, education. But then there's also the business strategy side. How do you balance employee efficiency versus business redesign versus revenue growth? So as you kind of think about this and help companies architect AI strategies, what are some of the key pillars of a strategy, key kind of areas for them to think about that might be wildly different from each other in terms of their both consideration and process?
No, I think you hit on many of them there. And, this is an area where, ChatGPT and others would be pretty good at answering this question. But, I think it's that question around data and tech, and do I have the right kind of leadership mindset around that? It's the organizational, both the thinking through the human arming and capability development that we need to do there, but then also taking a step beyond that and thinking about what types of roles and structures are we going to need to have going forward, right? So what are the cultural influences that we're going to want to play out in this space, which comes down to things like formal and informal metrics and recognition and restructuring of career paths and things of that nature relative to setting expectations and being transparent about that with people and reassuring them that this is the path we have going forward and we've got your best interests in mind and here's the trajectory that we're seeing and how we communicate that, you know, very sincerely so people can get comfortable with the trajectory that they're on. And then you've got all the business questions you were just describing, right? So thinking through, you know, very basic things like what is this going to do to, you know, how value accrues in my industry? Where's revenue opportunities and sources going to come from? What does it do relative to profitability? Is this a decretion of profit opportunity because we're going to have to give back some value to the customers because of this? Or is this a profit enhancing opportunity because it can reduce cost without having to reduce price? You know, so we have to start to think about those transitions and who's best positioned to capitalize on this within our industry. So it resets my competitive analysis lens as well, because as you talked about earlier, you know, the data requirements here and really the tech savviness or agility of those organizations, you know, you may start to see smaller, more nimble organizations emerging and leveraging this tool better than larger, more established organizations that had traditional brand presence and strength in the space, but now they're under attack from competitors they may not have considered a direct threat earlier on, and they got to reconsider that going forward. And then, as you talked about before, the unexpected emergence of net new insights, right? So what vehicle am I using or what capabilities do I have in my organization to bring me the latest and greatest thinking? How tapped into the new evolutions, whether it's venture capital or other tech advances, how much early warning and foresight will I have around that? How do I feed that into my strategic planning and response process? Are those capabilities strong enough in this domain? Do I have the right technical capabilities? If I don't, how do I think more expansively about the ecosystem of partners I need to have in this space so I don't have to go it alone in that domain? And I think all of that is partly the domain of a traditional strategy planning function, but it brings in a lot more diverse sets of capabilities than just a traditional kind of market analysis and five-year growth plan.
One of the things that you touched on was this question of culture and leadership and expectation setting with employees. And it feels to me, kind of observing from where we sit, every study that comes out continues to show people using AI and keeping it hidden from their bosses, from their colleagues. It implies that some of these questions are not fully resolved for folks. How important is that cultural leadership dimension of this conversation? How important is it for leaders to articulate their vision for how they see AI, not just changing the organization, but shaping the context that those people will or won't work in the future?
No, I think it's critical. And I was kind of smiling when you talked about people hiding it. And you really start to think about what does that say more broadly about the culture that they have? You know, what signals have they sent, you know, preceding AI relative to their energy and enthusiasm for innovative thinking? Right? Are they an organization that rewards people thinking outside the box, challenging the status quo, looking for opportunities to socialize and celebrate when some new approach has been taken? Or has that kind of been crushed out of the system, right? Where layers of leadership are reinforcing traditional ways of thinking. And if that's been your culture for many years, you're not going to countermand that just because everyone has AI on their desktop now, right? So you've got to start to think about a cultural assessment of, you know, what is our DNA today? How have we reinforced that formally and informally over the years? And then how do I need to change that to best embrace AI? On the one side, when you've got the super innovative and supportive culture, you can have all these experiments going on and that will feel very natural to the organization. But there is a degree of perhaps risk and control you need to bring in, right? So maybe you can't be as freewheeling with this because of some of the exposures it could be creating with data control and privacies and regulations happening around that. So you may need to rein in a little bit of that free willing because of the implications. On the flip side, if you've been really more, you know, status quo reinforced models, then you realize that's a liability going forward. And how do I start to think about transforming the engagement I have? And how do I reassure our people who have been kind of trained to not think that way or behave that way, that this is now desired moving forward? How do I demonstrate that? And it can't just be the right words, right? Because culture is not just what you say, it's how you behave, it's how you react when someone does bring forward a new idea. What kind of response do they get? What happens to their career path? If they're a constant change agent and agitator for change in this space, are they given opportunities to expand that influence, or are they kind of maligned over to a side role somewhere else because it's just not accepted here. So I think organizations have to be really sensitive to that, because the employees, again, they're not just experiencing AI from how your organization is giving it to them. They're experiencing it in their personal life as well. So they know what the potential is. They have their own views and thoughts on where this is going to affect the industry and their roles. And they're going to start to act on that, whether you give them the freedom to do it internally or if they have to find an alternate place to express that thinking.
If you could reorient the thinking, the sort of a core assumption that a lot of executives or leadership teams make when it comes to AI strategy in a fundamental way, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I think part of it is the assumption that somehow we've got this right, that, you know, we figured AI out. We know where the pools of value are, and we're just going to get after that. If you allow yourself to fall into that sense of complacency, that's a pretty dangerous spot to be in and pretty narrow in your thinking. I think leaders now more so than most times really have to be introducing outside points of view into their conversations and sourcing new challenges to their thinking in this model. And they've got to get really good at that. I think they also have to rethink the time horizon for this change. When you start to think about what we're experiencing today, it's still in its infancy. So while the technology and the capability is dramatically inspiring, and it's just only going to get better, and the business models to fully embrace that technology haven't really been scaled yet. So we've started to see people bring this capability into their traditional models, but we really haven't seen the net new emergence of kind of AI native business models in this space. We're starting to see some early experiments in that space. You know, we're seeing some interesting indicators in certain industries about what the potential is going to be. But I think, you know, much like the early days of the internet, you know, when you were doing your dial up on 2400 modems and stuff, you can't necessarily envision the trajectory it's going to take or how transformative it's going to be yet. And I think if we start to assume that we've seen this iteration and we can plan for this, then we're going to miss out on the emerging both threats or opportunities that are coming as this transforms.
I think it's super salient advice and sort of a great place to conclude, honestly. But as we wrap this up, are there any parting thoughts, last things that you really want people who are listening to sort of take away as relates to AI strategy?
Yeah, I think there's probably kind of three things that I would toss out. One is, when you think about strategy and you think about the value of AI and its impact on your strategy, you know, think about it in a couple of buckets. There's some near-term, low-hanging fruit stuff you want to capitalize on right now because it's a competitive advantage to do so. But then you've got to really put an equal amount of energy into the more transformative work, the value that can only be captured when I've taken the change management initiatives required to get my people on board with this, and then start to think about the net new opportunities that AI creates relative to new ways to engage customers, new value you can create for them, and how that will enhance kind of your mission going forward. And then don't be ignorant of the business models themselves that are going to change and how the economics can suddenly either evaporate in your space or, you know, play well into your space if you lean into that new dimension. So I think that's one component is the timing and the portfolio complexity of where value is going to come from. I think the other is, don't underestimate the change management component. I think most organizations are still focused on the technical nature of this equation, and they've underrepresented the human side of it. And most of the value and upside that we're going to see, you know, as a society, is going to come when we fully start to embrace this kind of man plus machine mindset and understand the implications of what this means for our sense of security, our sense of self-worth, you know, our ability to collaborate with a digital colleague, you know, is a totally new mindset. And I think organizations have yet to fully appreciate that or weave that into their strategic planning. And that's going to constrain their growth and opportunity going forward.
Well, Kevin, great thoughts. Super appreciate this. I think this was a wonderful start to this series. Looking forward to seeing how this evolves when we do, you know, You Can With AI next year. Who knows how different it will be?
No, I'm looking forward to it as well. I can't wait to hear the follow-ups to this, but would love to hear any additional feedback as well from everybody who's listening. So really appreciate the time and great conversation.
This has been You Can With AI. Check out all 7 episodes and learn how you can better integrate AI into your organization today.